This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Wawinjeka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Yes, welcome to Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic, and we couldn't help but get our last guest from last week's show because I just found it incredibly insightful in regards to her work, just her passion with the work and obviously for our mob in, you know, in representation. And that's Lani Ilk, and Lani Ilk's with us now. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, it's so good to see you. And I'm actually hoping that Lani Ilk will be a part of Urban Dreaming for the next few months to come.
Because, yeah.
This is something really exciting for us because we are forever trying to get Mob to come in and actually represent the show, and because, you know, a lot of us are freelance artists.
Yep.
So it's always good to have, you know, Mob to come in and fill in when we can't be here. So
yep.
Because this is important. This radio show is very important.
Definitely.
So we've got a really interesting show this evening. Tonight we'll be discussing homelessness in Victoria, and particularly on Aboriginal homelessness, and because our Mob are basically the 25% of representation of the whole in regards to on being on the streets. So it's I think it'd be nice to have a chat about that. And we've actually got a couple of guests who are currently living on the street.
Mm.
And we were in a bit of a situation last week, and it'd be nice to have a look at in discussion to that also. And also we'll be having a bit of lightness too. We'll be talking to an amazing artist who's a rapper, and he's a musician and a filmmaker, and he'll be playing a bit of ukulele for us, which is great. And I actually got to meet him, and you were part of that gig last week with him, or the week before, sorry.
Yeah, Black Dot Gallery.
Yeah. So that's Vatericio Chuacaba. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Very exciting.
So, he'll be in the studio probably by about 8:30. So tune in, guys. We're here till 9 p.m., and we're going to chuck a song on for you right now. This is Jeffrey Gurumul Yunipingu with Bapa.
Hi, this is Alfie Akuri. You're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Yes, you're in Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic and...
Laniuk.
Hey. And now we've got our special guests, actually, and this is Sydney and Sue. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, mate.
Yeah, pretty good, pretty good.
So we were just mentioning before, for those who have just tuned into us, we'll be discussing the topic of homelessness in Victoria. And now our mob are specifically represented in the 25% mark of the whole of the, I guess, the nationwide in regards to the percentage.
Which is crazy because on a national percentage, we make up, what, 2%?
Yeah.
2%
but
of the national...
But we make up 60% of the population in prison.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think it was actually statistically proven to be 75% of the incarceration percentage as well. So it just goes to show in regards to what we've always discussed in on this show, particularly about intergenerational trauma and how a lot of our mob are offending, are doing things to, I guess, to that degree, and, you know, and also alcohol and drug abuse that's been going on to become a band-aid, I guess, in a sense, to because we're there's a lot of stuff that's happened from intergenerational trauma that's happened for so long. And
I guess a lot of trauma continuing as well, really. I mean, even with this discussion that we had last week around Sunrise and the removal of Aboriginal children, I mean, that sort of pattern of behaviour isn't slowing down, it's speeding up. So, it's intergenerational trauma that we're passing on, but we're also continuing to live in. And I mean, that I guess, yeah, a lot of those issues extend beyond the Aboriginal community as well.
Exactly. And funny you said that too, because we actually got a lady who is non-Indigenous, and that's Sue in the studio with us right now. And Sydney is actually from Canberra, and he is Aboriginal. So let us know a bit more about your background, Sydney, and how you ended up in the streets of Melbourne.
I'm an Indigenous man. We're wanderers, you know, bit of a nomad, you know. Like, I was born in Footscray in Melbourne, and I grew up in a small town called Berrigan till I was 10, and then I went up to Queensland, lived up there for 16 years, spent a lot of time in prison, you know, like, for bad things, and nothing that bad, but, yeah. Cost me a lot of my life, and then I got out and I done my university and done everything while I was in there. I done everything that I could while I was in there. I used the programs that they had in there for me, you know, so I finished my year 10, 11 and 12 and then went to university and studied business management. I was the head cook. I was, you know, I'd done really well, but when things don't go well for me, I seem to turn to alcohol. Not so much drugs, but alcohol. And, it doesn't always work out for me, but I don't know. I don't know if you say I'm at a crossroads or now. I've been at the crossroads for a long time, but, I think that, I play football for a club in Shepparton, which is an Aboriginal club called Rumbalara, and I've been playing there for 5 years. I umpire junior football. You know, I do good things, but when something happens that I can't handle, I don't know why, but I always turn to the drink, and then I start drinking, and then next thing you know, I'm on the streets again.
So, Sydney, in regards to what you're saying too, because it's really important to know that, for us personally, I know what it's like. If I'm down in the dumps or I feel like I have some things that I can't specifically deal on my own with, I generally have a support network. Whereas I'm wondering for you, mob on the street, what are the service providers for you guys on the streets, and do you even have enough knowledge to know where to go to or who to speak to in regards to when you're in these situations?
Well, I've done the street thing before. I've done it for a long time, you know, like I said, things have really thrown me out a few times, and I don't know, you might call me a weak person or anything like that, but I don't handle that stuff well, but I do have the supports. I do have the supports, but I'm trying to be, I'm not a small guy. I'm pretty well respected by everybody, and it took me a long time to get this respect that I've got now. But in the same token, you know, I sort of brush them off a little bit because I'm like, I'll get out of this myself. I'll get out of this myself. I'll get out of it myself. And, you know, there's people that are helping me. But, you know, it's hard living on the streets. It's so hard, especially in winter. In summer, it's not too bad. Mm. And you know why I drink every single day? Because I can pass out and go to sleep anywhere. Might wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning cold, but then I'll sleep the rest of the day in the sun. You know, and it sucks. It really sucks. It sucks doing this. You know, like, I don't get much sleep at night. You got places here that will help you out, but you know that there's a lot of riffraff and all that. But you know, you can't go to sleep when you want to have a sleep.
Yeah, there's times I know when I've walked. I've actually from, you know, because I'm from the Kimberleys, and we are used to being in hot country, and now and then we get a bit of cold country. But when I moved to Melbourne, I was thinking, how do these mob handle being in the cold? You know, especially when you see a lot of them who have got no clothes as well. Like, I see, like, right now, it's cold weather and you're wearing a singlet, for example. I'm thinking, like, is it just you're waiting for people of goodwill to give you some stuff, some clothing, or do you actually have somewhere where maybe the Salvation Army come to and they offer you these services? Or, yeah, where do you go to get a blanket even?
Well, I've had blankets given to me, but, like, and the thing that really is, you know, like, homeless people are, I don't know, they're desperate. I'm desperate. I'm desperate myself. But they seem to steal off each other. You know, I don't know who it is. I had a blanket. I had everything. Sue gave me a blanket. And she goes, last night I slept with a bath towel. A little bath mat towel. Because I was that cold, and I asked someone for a blanket, and they go, look, this is all I got. And I went, all right. So I covered myself with the blanket. I just wanted it for my head, actually, because I wanted a pillow. And then I started getting cold, and then I put the bath mat on me and just like that. It's tough on the street. You know, I've done the street things a long time. And this time, it's actually breaking me more than ever. Because I set myself up a long time ago. I done really well. I had a good job. I've always worked my whole life. But this time, it's breaking me. And I've got my good friend here, Sue, that's helped me out so much.
Yeah, Sue. Actually, I met Sue last week now. I was actually walking in the streets, and I noticed there was 30 police officers walking, and there was a bit of a situation, and they were basically standing around like there's in a barricade. And I was asking a few people on the street what was happening, and a few people just said to me, I think there's a bit of a deal going on, and they're trying to get this guy to arrest him. So I just waited around and just wanted to see what was happening, and I noticed that they were just particularly picking on one person, and he was a Pacific Islander dude, and he seemed like he was just minding his own business, you know. And I noticed Sue was sort of standing there and in support and just making sure that he was okay. Sue, let us know what the situation was when we were there, because I found out there was much more, wasn't there?
Yeah, sure. We had racing in the city, and it appears that when there's a big event, that hierarchy seem to dictate terms, that they want the street cleaned up and nice and pretty for visitors, which may be fair enough in one respect, but in the other respect, homeless people don't have anywhere really to go, and you tend to congregate in a place and keep that place if you can as your own. You know, people come visit you, people know where you are, and you know where they are. So this young man actually is a pretty genteel sort of a guy, the one you're speaking about, and he was trying to do his best. He's very, you know, quietly spoken. He wasn't causing a problem. He had no, you know, alcohol or drug issues creating an issue. He was simply on a couple of sheets of cardboard, and he had a couple of boxes at the end of that sheets of cardboard. So they bring up a few laws, and some of them seem to be a bit ancient. But one that they like to try and push forward is obstructing the footpath. And which may be fair enough if there's nowhere to get around. But, of course, there's plenty of room to get around. And this young fellow was thinking, well, I'll let people know I'm here. So he put one box at one end and one box at the other end. And so he's psychologically thinking he'll warn people. And, yeah, so they will come intimately and ask your name, which really we don't have to give if they don't suspect that we committed crime. But it becomes a pattern. Every now and then they'll come and ask everybody their name and, you know, details. Which they'd done for a few days prior. So it seems to be a bit of a build-up. So he didn't want to move. It's a bit of a drama to take all your things with you every day. And which you know, it's fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because they were saying that it was an obstruction to public space, and the guy was actually was nowhere near the pathway. He was basically just on the side near the windows. And in reference to, you know, I guess there, you look at the buskers, for example, and they are doing performances, and it's, I find it really difficult as a pedestrian to walk through these spaces sometimes because they're overpopulated, and you know that's because they're performing and people are drawn to that, of course, and they've got a license, of course, to be able to do what they're doing. But it's interesting because I found that they were more of an obstruction than the guy who was sitting down by himself, you know, doing and minding his own business. And what I found was unnecessary to have 30 police officers to be able to be sitting down and trying to tell this guy, you need to move right now. It was really hard. It was actually hurt my heart because this guy was minding his own business. He wasn't there. Like you said, he wasn't doing anything offensive.
It's an effrontery. What happens is you feel criminalised. And there's a difference between a crime and you know, disorder, what have you. And the thing is that they can ask you to move along, but that may not be, in effect, actually legal to do that unless they believe that you're committing a crime. So we are asked to move along quite often, and there's no crimes being committed, and which most people are amenable with. You'll pack up and you'll go, and sometimes you can be treated a little bit roughly, and sometimes, you know, depending on your own attitude, perhaps you just get up and go. But in that situation that you're discussing that you viewed that day, yeah, they were pretty good buskers, actually. So they drew a pretty good crowd, and it was sort of actually proved a point that day that there was a crowd of people looking at them, watching them, and they were actually blocking the pavement, and they really were. So you had police up in quite close to them, you know, gloved up, and across the pavement in front of us on the curbside, and also speaking to the young gentleman you mentioned. And so they bring council as well, ready to remove any of your gear or anything that you might leave there, or if you're not going to take it with you, they can just, you know, take that away, which is also a distressing situation for people who are homeless. That's all they have, and often there's a cost involved in replacing those things. You need to go to the toilet. It's not exactly lovely to think that when you wake up in the morning, most people, when they get up out of bed, they can go to the toilet, they can make themselves breakfast. You have to pack up before you can even go to the toilet, basically. Mm. Or if you go to the toilet, you can come back and find everything that you have has been taken, which is highly distressing. It really, really is making, I think, unpopular to be homeless. And so if they make it unpopular and uncomfortable, they're probably hoping that people will stop the practice. But in actual fact, I think that that's not going to be able to be stopped because it's going to become part of society. Our you know, poverty levels are just, they're there. And even if you are on a benefit, some of the boarding homes, they cost a lot of money. There are a lot of problem issues there. If you go to hospital for a few days, you may come back and find all of your goods have been taken. There's people taking people through court at the moment in relation to that and hoping to get some compensation. So they think they're starting off again. They'll, you know, get their payments and put that together to get substances off with furniture, and then they'll come out of hospital and they'll find everything's gone. So it's a very rough situation, and it becomes extremely depressing for a lot of people. So you have people mentioning, suicide or thinking of, you know, jumping in front of trams, and it's that serious. The distress becomes that high on days for people out there. And it is an extremely serious issue. And when, you know, I have empathy because I've travelled. The only place I haven't been really is Darwin and Alice Springs. But I've been in most other centres in Australia. And I've been homeless for 9 years out of the last 10. So I've seen a fair bit of things. So I've seen, Aboriginal people in Western Australia and how they are treated and how they're, what happens in relation to them. And I've seen elders on the street here, a lovely lady there, and some rough treatment from police there. And it caused me a great deal of distress. I have some empathy with Stolen Generation because I've had my own children taken from me without cause or reason. And it is extremely devastating. And I can see exactly what you're saying in relation to long-term complex trauma. And it is generational. It is definitely generational. You lose that contact, the distress is there, somehow there isn't healing for it. And even if there is healing for complex trauma issues, it's slow. It's very slowly, orchestrated and come across. And without issues being sorted and without people really understanding what's happening, it becomes even more distressing for you.
You know, I'm thinking a lot about what you're saying. And, you know, there's so much complexity and difficulty in being homeless and what you're sort of living through. And it's particularly as a woman as well, you know. Yeah. I mean, I feel unsafe walking the streets at night sometimes. I can't imagine living on the streets for nine years. What I'm hearing as well is the sort of dehumanizing way that people are interacting with homeless people.
Yeah, there's a fear. There's a fear too in reporting incidents. There's an older lady who was dragged into an alley and attacked by a younger person. She was sort of rescued from a grievous sort of harm, but it shocked her for a long, long time. And when you consider that in the city, you have some pavement artists that are all Koori people, Aboriginal people, and they're incredibly talented artists. Yeah. Incredibly talented people, and so every day they'll be there if necessary. Some have a few days break, but their art is incredible, and that art is being put down, and the time and the value of that art, the next day it's gone. And that may, as a busker, they may receive a small amount of money for that, but they're extremely talented people, and it causes me, because I've done some illustration of children's books, and I look at this and I think, this is an incredible career value here, if possible. And so you have all those other issues that steamroll people, and they don't get some breath to get up, out of that water that they're drowning in. And so there are other issues, of course, but they're not. I know that there would be specific things in relation to Aboriginal people and certain health issues. And that's one thing that I personally notice, is that people are discouraged somehow in helping people medically.
Yeah.
In other words, look, this is not a good place to be. Get yourself out of it and then we might help you, seems to be the consensus. And so people get afraid to go to hospital, or they just don't have the finance, of course, to go through detox and things like that. So there's financial issues there. Yeah, and I think there ought to be an answerability about where all these finances go that come into the city or come into places, what's actually being done with them. Yeah, so you come under pressure and to be sort of compartmentalised, or either under mental health, or if you have a mental health problem, if you have a substance issue, if it's domestic violence, that seems to be the last one on the list. So it seems to be mostly those two things, and the pressure can be extreme from mental health teams.
Yeah,
yeah, it can be full on.
I get a headache sometimes trying to work through Centrelink. The paperwork and the bureaucracy of accessing resources is sometimes such a maze. And I'm looking at you, and you're such an intelligent, witty, sharp person, and I'm wondering what your experience is like trying to access resources, and what are the obstacles in getting help?
Well, with trauma, you go through three stages. Either you run, you fight, or you just freeze. And a lot of people freeze. So there are people on the street who just can't get themselves to do these things, because it's a major, major issue to go and get a shower, to do your laundry. Unless somebody actually comes to you, going to find those places. Often people's phones are stolen, they don't have access like that, or there isn't somebody at Centrelink to help them. So you become extremely discouraged quite quickly. So there are people who won't even claim benefits, and who will just say, look, that's it for me. What I get here, if people give me something, And so there's a high degree of depression, probably untreated, a lot of it. But what happens is, you don't want to escalate from somebody who's suffering from depression and trauma into some ridiculous diagnosis of psychosis, for instance. And I think that then destroys your credibility. And so that's what happens, is you begin to turn sort of on yourself. I'm sure there are people who are, adapt to what they do, and people are sort of helped to a certain degree. Often it takes, two or three times to try and give up cigarettes, let alone any other substance. So, but it's availability and cost, and people can become discouraged and unwell. Unwell generally, not just because of a substance, but because of poor food and dentistry and what have you. So,
of course.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time, guys, but I'm just glad that you guys had a chance to give the voice for the homelessness and this is an opportunity for mob to listen and take in. You know, there are a lot of mob on the streets who are intellectual, who are very smart, and have just had hard luck. But thanks again, Sue, for your time, and thank you, Sydney.
Mayangan, 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 mayangan. Standing strong against the tide. Look at the world through different eyes. The ground. When you wake up, the world is spinning around. Together we stand hand in hand, brother and sister, woman and man. We're living as one in this great big land. Together we love, united we stand.
Yes, you're on Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic and and that song was Mayuma by Yurimul. And that's actually Jeffrey Gurumul's nephew. How cool is that?
Lovely.
So it just goes to show it runs in the family.
Yeah.
And now we're about to introduce our special guest.
So tonight in the studio we have Vataracio Tuikaba, who's a Footscray-based Fijian-Australian musician, rapper, filmmaker and actor. Tuikaba has performed in theatrical productions with Melbourne University since 2016, and since 2014 he's been making films in association with the Footscray City Films. His most recent appearance in So Long, written and directed by Caitlin Ferrugia and Michael Jones, premiered at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival 2018 at ACME. Tuikaba performs locally around West Melbourne establishments. His upcoming show will be at Slothfest at Sloth Bar in Footscray, starting at 1 p.m. on the 31st of March. His music is mostly influenced by soul, folk, and R&B musicians, including Pola Nutini, Rex Orange County, Michael Kiwanuka, and Leon Bridges. He places his own twist on these genres by performing with the ukulele and taking inspiration from his Pacifica roots.
And speaking of the ukulele, he actually brought his ukulele into the studio tonight, and we're going to play some live music. So, hit it.
Hello. This song's called JPS Blue. JPS Blue, what a lame line, dude. If you came with the crew, you can take mine too. And this is shite haiku, but the mic might do. Yo, your booth tied too, man, I'm rude, what it do? I'm aloof from the truth, and I'm screwed to my roots. From the roof to the boot, heads loose to my tunes. If you do what I do, you too drink a few. But I'm cute, and I'll feud if it's two. Dum, dum, dum. Dum, dum, dum. Dum, dum, dum. Dum, 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 dum. Never really wanted anything new. Now that it was it, your parents claiming I wasn't true. They're human too, and now they're thinking about money and clothes. Straight to my room, fucking kick it on the balcony. That's how we do. You wanna go out with me, you do you boo. I'm quite inclined to find a beat in time to tune of my flavor, repeating what I say. I forget the misbehavior, I created this to date ya. Not if I page ya, then think of something major. It's the 20 past four and I'm floored out in the nature strip. If you feel me, wanna think before you tell me. Why be compromising, cutting ties for window wiper feelings? Just don't tell me that you read it. I heard that when I said it to the camera. 3 years where man's are gone, forget it. Be come beheaded and bleeded in your chest. And thinking back and fucking paddles pressing all them lessons, yeah. All of your stressings, blessings up in dresses. Testing all them lovers just to get them into heavens. Why I won't mind, I'm lying down behind. I be baby free to blaze the weed, to die to get inside. Then I ain't voodoo psyching. I just hope these ladies like I'm here. The one to walk the wall of China with that one beside him. But to get there, you draw a single for a pair, and you can live one life until you find that you need someone that does. This me love, is it just the drugs? Just sail away, don't feel the pay, the heart that will get sunk because I love above until I love again. Don't feel the need to say that you ain't claimed the shit to him, cause those are porky pies and I'm writing in a sookie sad song about a righteous night of fighting. I just love that shit, but I don't want to know your name. I know you didn't ask for mine, but you won't do the shit again. We will go insane and claim it ain't in vain, but then about a month will pass and it'll start to feel the same. We will start to feel the pain from here to our chest, fading out the bass until it's deafened to the rest. But don't stress, I bless your lover's test. Listen to my lyrics, you ain't need to reassess whether y'all are really phony. And I know you wanna know me with a movie on your Sony, call a pizza pepperoni. It ain't hard to keep it real for the people who you're into. If you foe, then you know that ass will discontinue. Just feel it in you. And if you can't sit, dude, who are y'all to blame? It ain't broken, it's within you. It's within you, it's within you. Who are y'all to blame? It ain't broken, it's within you. It's within you, it's within you. Who are y'all to blame? It ain't broken, it's within you.
Yeah.
Cheers, team.
Well awesome. Done, well done.
Thank you for that.
So we got to meet you. I got to meet you at the Black Knight.
At Black Dot, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. That's the Black Dot Gallery. Yeah, I was just blown away by your presence. You started off the show, and
it was organized by a mate of mine, Alec Reed, who is a Fijian as well, and he recently got me in touch with the community around Melbourne, the New Wayfinders. So they're like a Pacifica group of just a bunch of young, cool artist people who like to get together and stay, like, connected with the culture and stuff.
I've always wondered, with the ukulele, does it mean you can play the guitar as well? I've always been unsure about that.
The only reason I started playing the ukulele was because my guitar broke, and I've been too... I say it's because I'm broke, but it's really just because I'm too lazy to get that one string fixed, and it's been missing for 2 years now.
No.
And I haven't gotten that one string replaced, so now I know how to play ukulele.
But it's great because it gives you your uniqueness, I guess.
Yeah, it has come in handy. It's definitely been an unexpected sort of staple of my performances now. Like, I'm the guy that plays the ukulele. I didn't realize I'd grow up to be that guy, but that's fine. You know what, if it works, people seem to like it.
Yeah, sweet. So and you've actually done a film as well for the Queer Festival.
Yeah, so
let us know more about that as well.
That was so long. It was written, directed by Kaylin Frugia and Michael Jones. They contacted me through a film that I had made myself with Footscray City Films. I put that on Vimeo, and only like 300 people saw it. It's called Here's the Thing, if anyone wants to check it out. get the view count up. But yeah, they saw that, like, of the few people that did, and they sent me a message, and they were like, you make films sort of like the way we make films?
come be a part of it. And I sussed out all of their stuff, and it's really good. And yeah, it was just really cool to be a part of, because especially the film that they, the characters a part of the film are very real, because there wasn't much of a script. It was all basically just real people getting in to like basically make these scenes together. And it was interesting. The person who I was playing opposite from Eva Seymour, she was playing a character who was a costume designer in the movie. And so it was interesting not only having the story be about two women in a gay relationship, just make that a story, but also of the fact that they were sort of bringing out a lot of points with women in the film industry. And it just kind of coincidentally came out after the Me Too movement as well. Like, we filmed it like late 2016, and then it was released kind of weirdly right after the Me Too movement came out. So it was kind of perfect timing for the release date.
Yeah, wow. And did much of your Pacifica identity come into this film?
In that film, not necessarily, which is kind of all right. I do appreciate not necessarily being sort of typecast a lot. Mm. And it was good that they sort of gave me a role where I wasn't just reliant on being the one brown dude in a movie, because that will happen a lot. But it's good. Yeah, it's good sometimes when you don't just have to be associated or just like labeled
or tokened.
Yeah, totally. So it was cool not necessarily being a part being like that.
Now, I don't know anything about film. I don't know anything about film or the film industry, right, or how it works or what it's like. Tell me a little bit. Tell
us
all
about it.
Should
look great in film, don't you think, though?
Absolutely.
So photogenic.
Stop it.
The film industry is something that when I was younger, I wanted to be an actor a lot. Mm. And like I was saying before, I was just getting a lot of roles where people were sort of typecasting me as, you know, the brown one. And it's good. It's good, especially lately, especially in Melbourne. There's a lot of filmmakers out there who want to just really encapsulate the realness of like the people around them in the community and stuff. Especially Footscray City Films, a lot of the movies that are coming out of there are a lot more real than I was like expecting them to be going into it. So it's good. Melbourne's got a good underrated film culture.
And you make films of your own?
I did. Not recently. I have a couple of films that have been lost in the abyss of post production. They'll get done pretty soon, so everyone can stop emailing me.
So what medium is better for you personally? Is it music or is it film?
Well, that's the thing. I was actually talking to Eunice about this the other day. Eunice is here, by the way, for everyone.
Hi, Eunice.
I've gotten into this stage recently where I'd really don't want to be dedicating 100% of my time to just one thing. Mm. So doing music, especially performing lately, like Black Dot was actually my first sort of like live gig outside of a bar. So music has actually only recently like started to become much more of a part of my life. Before then it was film, before then it was acting. So I kind of like to keep refreshing myself a whole lot, and don't really like to get tied down to just the one the one idea.
Is there something else that you got your eye on? A different area that you'd like to be trying?
I want to learn how to make cook fish this year.
Yeah?
Yeah. That was actually my New Year's resolution.
Did you say cook fish?
Cook fish, yeah.
Oh, man, I can help you.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't gone too well in my recipes. Like, I got sushi today, but that was about it. it's been the extent of it so far.
Yes. Well, I was just thinking too, as a performing artist, you know, I know it's not the most paid job in the world, and unfortunately the government's just cut it back a lot too. And
yeah,
I wonder, like, for a living, you know, because we're just discussing about homelessness as well, in regards to, you know, the situation of finance and having stability in your life. So what do you do as an artist? You know, we're basically homeless in a sense too, aren't we, as performing artists?
Yeah, like, I have my own job, like, in my own time to pay the bills, but it's a struggle that I suppose a lot of artists have to like kind of come to terms with, when you're either going to dedicate your entire being to this, and like, I want to be able to, obviously, like myself, I want to be able to live off the things that I create, but you can't do that when you're just starting out, and it's difficult being able to transition from struggling to pay the bills to struggling to pay the bills but on my own terms. And I want to be able to at least get to that point where I can, you know, pay rent, pay the bills, pay for my Mikey fines, and like just off my off the money I earn, play music and hopefully doing more films. I actually am doing another movie with Michael and Caitlin pretty soon, which is in the works. We should be shooting hopefully around July.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm also thinking, have you ever done many educational programs with students or otherwise, are you willing to?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think I have the best, I would probably take the backseat to a lot of people who have a lot more, like, expertise in actual theory of music. But I do like writing, like, lyrics and stuff. And I think I've always wanted to, sit down with, like, just a group of writers and just, what can we make today? It'd be cool to do that with a bunch of people.
Cool, cool. Day. Well, speaking of songwriting, you got another song for us?
I do have another song. What should I play? I did have something prepared. all right, this one's called Summer of Maggi. It was initially a reference to the Summer of George, and now it's a reference to 2 Minute Noodles. So this is that song.
Is it chicken noodles? Or?
Yeah, chicken noodles. Yep. Chicken and egg, just the way Mama used to
nice.
Make it.
Nice, I love that. Right. With a bit of soy.
Yes, exactly. All right, Summer of Maggi.
Den pado ma vot ke tapo sato pa plen thunderstorm bow full of noodles the fire where you create on gone a vow is I don't want some more and I am married to the game. I feel my neighbors gone insane. My train's never not delayed and I'm faded. So faded, I am pushed against the grain. I feel my name is all I gain. Turn up the AC or the sin to gray bowl full of noodles. Fire with your crew, done gone. A vow is that I want some more. My belly rumble, my west side jungle. I'll probably fumble, I'll never fall. Got all these bills to pay. Oh, babe, let's skip our day. I'll eat your brain, I'll have a taste. Bowl full of noodles, you fire with your crew done gone. A vow is that I want some more. And maybe I concentrated my writing, dividing evil. Oh, I just wanna spit a perspective to all these people that I know opportunities rarely ever get sequeled. Never answer the phone when you know, just wanna see you. And now you got me thinking maybe I should spend the night. I'm thinking drinking's got me sinking. Once you're gone and cut that line, oh, it was fine for the rhymes, left the signs that miss you. I just wanna rap about the times I will dick you, but there were plenty. Before it ended, I might put it in a song along with things I should have said. And then maybe when you think of me, you'll think I'm quite legit. I just wanna replace memories of me that prick. Oh, it was sick for we trip, for we flipped another issue. I know you'll be happy if I never say I miss you. I was mean and green, obscene and so fussy. You told me yourself, you thought you really could've loved me. Would've flipped shit on you too. If you want the truth, I'll see the thing with me and you was that we never thought it to. And if we ever thought it through, we could've caught up to them clues. Kicking down the walls that left a heavy home to fall. Bowl full of noodles, you fire away your crew's on gone. A vow is that I want some more. Bowl full of noodles, you fire away your crew's on gone. A vow is that I want some more.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Cheers, guys.
So what do you call that song again?
Summer of Maggi.
Summer of Maggi. Yeah, that's Vitoresio. Vitoresio?
Vitoresio.
Vitoresio.
That's right.
Chuacaba.
Yeah.
So I was just listening to your music then, and you sort of slightly reminded me of Ben Harper, actually. There's a timbre to your voice. Mm. Which is it's quite beautiful to listen to. I just felt like we just serenaded right now in the studio here. Chris is sort of a little bit flustered.
That's what I mean.
But in general, your work is amazing, and I think in perspective of what you are as a Pacifica artist, it's great to have that uniqueness as well as your ukulele from. I guess that comes back to Pacifica Island, you know. So keeping the roots strong.
Definitely. It was I do kind of feel the culture running through my veins when I play it. But it is helpful, especially listening to like old music, especially old reggae music, which is pretty bumping in Fiji at the moment. To be able to feel that vibe. And hopefully not necessarily like take it on entirely, but at least be influenced by it and have it with me. Yeah.
Yeah, I think with your work though, what are your dreams now from here? What are you thinking?
True. That's a good question. I should have an answer for that, but I don't. Mostly just make some cool art with some cool artists. I don't really see myself being much of a shoot for the stars kind of dude. It's just really good really being a part of a community of artists as well. Like everyone getting together and like making good with each other.
Yeah, when you discovered, I guess you had a voice, how old were you?
I would have been, I think I was always singing. I think just after a while, I kind of forced myself in front of a microphone. Like, I've been singing since I was a kid. So, eventually, practice makes perfect, I hope. We're getting there. Since I was a kid, I suppose.
Yeah, cool. Mm. I was actually told practice never makes perfect because there's no such thing, but practice makes permanence.
Okay.
I think that's a good way to look at it because, I guess when we practice, we become better at it and we never forget it, do we?
Mm.
It's like riding a bike, yeah?
Absolutely.
Some people forget, though.
Mm.
And now you've got one more for us.
Yeah. This one's more of a recent one. It's called No Rush.
I've made a few mistakes. Erasers can't erase a burn certain place next to Satan's old mates. And I got this fucking face that I really rather change. Got a lot to say that I don't think can wait. No rush, no rush. No rush. To my mom and dad, I'm glad you did the best with what you had. To the girls and all the lads, it's the test of time we ran. But to the people I made sad, I feel genuinely bad. You'd expect all of that, but you see when you step back that I'm an asshole and a hypocrite. But you get what you get when you mess with this. And I'm a hard guy to forgive. But we have our lives to live. Baby, pull up at the crib. If you ever want a drink, or if you need time to think, well, darling, get that thinking there. No rush. No rush. No rush.
You.
Thanks, team.
I listen to that music and I think sometimes, isn't it crazy? You could probably say anything and sound beautifully sweet, but you could probably swear someone black and blue and they wouldn't even know, because the ukulele is just one of those...
The ukulele makes it a whole lot easier.
One of those instruments,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I've written some trash songs about some people. Like,
yeah. So where can we listen to you more? How do we find out? And do you have Instagram or something?
I've got Instagram, Vateresio, and Twitter at Vateresio.
How do you spell that just for the listeners?
Vateresio. If you don't know, now you know. go ahead and give it a follow. Oh, I kept going. Oh, sweet.
That's great. So, yes, Instagram and Vateresio. Yes.
Yeah.
I say Vateresio, but I keep getting...
Vateresio Tuikaba.
Vateresio.
Do you know the full name?
Vateresio.
Yes,
please.
Vateresio Brian Selakotonga Apataya Tuikaba.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
It's
no worries.
Boy. Yeah.
I'll just write that down for you guys. Yeah. Not even. Oh, it's just been a pleasure to have you boys in the studio with us tonight.
Thank you.
There is his friend, of course, Eunice. And... it's also a pleasure to have my sister girl here, Lani Ook.
Thanks for having me
hopefully
again.
We'll have you more.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Looking forward.
You have been listening to Urban Dreaming with your hosts, Sue Rummy and Miss Elanius, a show that aims to bridge the gap and close the divide. You can stay up to date by adding us on your Facebook and download the podcast from joy.org.au. Urban Dreaming on Joy
GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.